I'll show you politics in America. Here it is, right here. I think the puppet on the right shares my beliefs. I think the puppet on the left is more to my liking. Hey, wait a minute. There's one guy holding up both puppets. Shut up. Go back to bed, America. Your government is in control.
Read my lips.
Just send your cash.
There has never been so many lies, so much deception.
Doesn't anyone notice this? I feel like I'm taking crazy pills.
Please clap.
It's time for the Mike Madison Show, a new breed of conservative talk. Now, here's your host, Mike Madison.
Showtime! Woo!
All right, good morning and welcome to the Mike Madison Show here at 103.9 WYAB, here weekdays 9 to 11 o'clock. This is the story behind the story, the truth behind the headlines, the lying mainstream media, and the ridiculous two-party propaganda. This is Central Mississippi's safe space for independent thinking out there, beholden to no party, to no person, to no royalty, not playing that game, just looking at things from a common sense, logical, intellectual point of view. Very, very rare you watch the mainstream media, you listen to most of the national media, and you're going to get spin on just about everything. Listen to a press conference from a politician, spin. It's all spin. Not here. We cut through all that garbage. The no spin zone was a spin zone. I hate to break it to people. The old Bill O'Reilly segment. I was such a big, huge Bill O'Reilly fan. We first started off when I was a warmongering neocon chicken hawk myself. And I really bought into all these things. Boy, I'd love to tune into Bill O'Reilly and listen to that No Spin Zone where he really stuck it to those liberals. And I've gone back over the years and seen clips that might pop up about the No Spin Zone. And I go, oh, wow, that was basically propaganda for the right. Now, it wasn't all wrong. But on all of these major issues, all the major talking points, as he would actually use on his show, they leave out so many different facts and facets of things. You can be really right. I mean, both the left and the right can present something to you and be factual about it and be right on about their thing. They just leave out the inconvenient parts. And that's really what the way that the propaganda game works. But we don't do that here. We try to take a look at everything through an independent lens. And I don't mean that by a wishy-washy, I can't decide between Republicans and Democrats. No, I just look at the absurdity of the entire system and point it out from a logical point of view here, what I think every day. If you like to disagree with anything I have to say, and I know many people do, 601-879-0002 if you'd like to join the show today. I'm going to start off on something which I don't normally do. Yesterday, I had Brandi Vaughn on. She was a former pharmaceutical sales rep with Merck, and she has become somewhat of a whistleblower. She realized she was selling Vioxx. If you didn't hear this show, I thought it was a really good interview just because it kind of shows from an insider's point of view exactly where we've gone wrong as I continue my series on the over-medication of America. And we talked some yesterday, and some of the things that we discussed was really about vaccines. Just the stories yesterday, we didn't have time. I never have enough time. When you have a guest on, you know, an hour can really seem like a long time when you just think about having to talk for an hour about anything particular. But as we take breaks and uncover other topics, boy, the time just flies by. Yesterday during the show, there was a testimony going on from this kid who, he's an 18-year-old, and he has fought for the right to get his vaccines. Now, this is not about to be an anti-vaccine thing. I'm trying to reframe this debate is really what I'm trying to do. Because the way this is given to the American people, as a bunch of kooks spreading lies and misinformation through social media, you know, it's very similar to the classification of conspiracy theorists. And if you don't know about the origination of the term conspiracy theorist, this was done purposefully by the CIA back in the 1960s for people who disagreed or who did not accept the official story about the murder of JFK. Now, if that label holds true, I believe current polling is about 80-something percent of the American people do not believe that Lee Harvey Oswald was the lone gunman who killed Kennedy in the middle of the day in Dallas in 1963. That would make over 80% of us conspiracy theorists if you accept the CIA term for it. And the people who are questioning the vaccine schedule, and that's what they're doing, and they're questioning the efficacy of vaccines, they are not conspiracy theorists. They're not crazy. They're not idiots surfing the web and believing everything that they is put in front of them. Because I know these people, and I'm one of these people. And if you listen to the show, you know for an hour every Wednesday, I cover health stuff. I assure you, there are very few people out there listening to this show right now who have done more research into health topics than I have over the past 14, 15 years. I would include medical professionals when it comes to nutrition. Now, they may know where the humerus bone is. I don't. I can't point to it right now. Is that an arm or a leg thing? I don't know. I'm not an anatomy guy. But I do study nutrition. I study the chemicals we're ingesting, and I see the problems. Anyway, I'm going to spend a couple of minutes on this today because here is the story. And as I started the show off talking about spin, and I am watching YouTube censor what they call misleading information by the anti-vaccine side. I am watching social media across the board really go after this group of people. I just have some very simple questions. Now, for those of you out there who say, well, you're anti-vaccine, you're anti-science, you're a danger to the community, do you know how are you portrayed if you don't buy into the global warming hoax? Well, I'll call it hysteria. Maybe the planet is warming. I don't know. The planet warms and cools across millennia, millions and billions of years. This planet has gone up and down. Glaciers go up and they go down long before humans had any industrial revolution to affect the climate. But if you ask that question, if you pose the fact that maybe we don't know everything about the planet's climate and the ups and downs and the variants in it, if you dare suggest that, you're a climate denier. You're a science denier. Now, everybody that's listening understands how that feels, right? You say, well, that's ridiculous. You haven't proven the case that climate change is real and that it is 100% man-made and that doing any of this ridiculousness like the Green New Deal would make any difference. The sun is very powerful. The earth is very large. And if the United States does these things in the Green New Deal, as wacky as they are, would it even make a difference if China doesn't do them, if India doesn't do them? Between what, China and India, they probably have roughly 8 times as many people as we do, between if you added the two of their countries up. So everybody should understand where I'm coming from on this. If you question the science of climate change, they just deride you. There's news programs, I think it was that Lackey Chuck Todd on NBC came out one day and he said, we're gonna take a day. He does Meet the Press on Sundays. We're going to take a day to take a serious look at the dangers of climate change. And now we're not going to have any of these crazy climate deniers on here. We're not going to waste our time with that because the science is settled. And I would imagine conservatives heard that and just said, oh, my gosh. What a leftist pushing their narrative of climate change. You know, we saw right through that. The problem is that the vaccine issue has posed everybody the same way. If you dare question the schedule, if you dare question the efficacy, if you dare talk about the ingredients in vaccines, you're anti-science. You're a kook. You're crazy. We're not even going to listen to that stuff. That is what I am watching with, and it's been going on for years. But in the last few months, really, this has become very, very big theme throughout media and along with social media censorship. And when I come back, I'm going to play this story about this kid who testified. And then I just have a couple of questions for the mainstream, for the media themselves who slant this story the way they do, for all of the medical establishment who believes that I'm doing some kind of disservice to the American people by even questioning our current vaccine program. I just have a few questions. If you can answer them, maybe you'll convince me that I shouldn't look at it anymore. I should just accept what we're told. Ditto for the climate people. I question the climate science. If you can call up and convince me, then maybe I'll quit questioning it. But there are a lot of questions that should be asked. The American media is designed to get people in this country to stop asking questions about a whole host of things. Don't question this. The government says X. You go along with it or you're a freak. That's what they do constantly. And if you notice, it's usually about big dollar things. There's always a lot of money at stake in these things. You think that's a coincidence? All right, I'm going to take a break. I'm getting kind of fired up about this. I'm going to play this news clip about this 18-year-old kid who has gone against his mother's wishes and demanded vaccines, and he's going to point out all the ridiculous stuff that's floating around social media. I'll do that when I come back. Stay with me. If you need an experienced lawyer that you can trust, contact the law firm of Danks, Miller & Corey. Our lawyers represent clients and small businesses across Mississippi. With over 100 years of combined legal experience, we have the expertise to handle even the most complex legal matters. When you need a lawyer to fight for you, don't compromise. Call Danks, Miller & Corey. You can reach us at 601-957-3101, 601-957-3101, or online at DanksMillerCorey.com. I like to think that part of what this show is a propaganda alert for various issues as they come across the wires. Venezuela, I'm showing you constantly that this is a pretty much a manufactured situation designed for us to intervene and take Venezuelan oil, but you're propagandized into believing that this is some threat, Iran, national security stuff. There's a lot of propaganda goes on there, including and up to today in the war on terror. There's a full court press going right now against anti-vaccine people. And let me tell you, I know these people. Unfortunately, many of them became anti-vaccine people because their children were damaged by vaccines. Yet those people who are pro-vaccine will attack them relentlessly. It's one of the sickest things I've ever seen. Walk a mile in their shoes. Now, I'm not an anti-vaccine person. And I'd say 95% of the people that I've met who question the schedule of vaccines are not anti-vaccine. They're saying we've got some issues here. The government fund that taxpayers pay for is paid out on behalf of pharmaceutical companies over $3 billion in settlements to kids that have been or people that have been injured by vaccines. Kind of seems like maybe that should raise an eyebrow somewhere. But here's what we're seeing over the media right now when it comes to vaccines. This is a story about this 18-year-old kid who was testifying in front of Congress yesterday. Remember, this is the same Congress that is beset by 1,406 lobbyists, as of the last number I saw. 1,406 lobbyists for 535 Congress critters. That's who these people are that are questioning this guy. That's how many pharmaceutical company lobbyists are up there.
A month after he shared his story with Dr. Tara Narula, a teenage rebel testified on Capitol Hill today about the importance of getting vaccinations. Dr. Narula is here now with an update.
Sitting alongside prominent health professionals at today's Senate hearing was an unlikely witness.
My mother would turn to anti-vaccine groups online and on social media.
Ohio high school senior Ethan Lindenberger testified about his fight with his own mother to get vaccinated.
For my mother, her love, affection, and care as a parent was used to push an agenda to create a false distress.
We first met Lindenberger last month when he told us his mother refused to vaccinate him and his siblings because of fears about vaccine safety. He started getting vaccinated when he turned 18.
For certain individuals and organizations that spread this misinformation, they instill fear into the public for their own gain selfishly and do so knowing that their information is incorrect.
Now, I gotta ask you... there's two sides to this ledger, right? The people pushing vaccines and the people who are questioning whether or not, number one, they actually work as advertised, and number two, there's many things. What's in them? Some people say, do we really need to have aluminum in our vaccines? Do we need to have mercury as a preservative in our vaccines? There are people who question that. And then there's people who just question the system. Okay, so what is the benefit to them? This kid just said, well, they're to push their own agenda for their own benefit. How do they benefit? I don't really know. Maybe some people sell some books. Maybe some people have put out vaccine, anti-vaccine books or questioning vaccine. I need to quit using that term myself. They might have, maybe a couple of authors made some money. Now, on the other side of that ledger is the pharmaceutical company. What's their benefit on that side? Oh, it's hundreds of billions of dollars. I just don't understand what he thinks the benefit is for all these groups of moms who are concerned for their children, and they kind of want to know what they're jamming into their arm.
17 states allow parents to opt out of vaccinations for non-medical reasons. Lack of vaccinations have been blamed for measles outbreaks in 5 states, one of the worst in Washington state. Washington State Secretary of Health, Dr. John Weissman.
States and local health departments really are the leaders to engage their communities around vaccine information. And honestly, you know, that system's crumbling.
To prop up the system and combat false information about vaccines, this week the American Academy of Pediatrics offered to help some online companies ensure that facts are prioritized over misinformation and to build trust in vaccinations and their protection.
What I was trying to really drive home was that we should be talking about what's true. And that's really the biggest idea.
This hearing.
Well, I mean, the kid is 18 years old. He knows all truth. I mean, with that kind of life experience, with the research that he has done, I'm sure he knows all truth. Now, I got to tell you, I don't know all truth, and I'm substantially older than him. And probably since I've been studying health stuff pretty relentlessly for 14 years, he was 4 years old. I would say I might even have a leg up on him on the amount of research I've done. And I will tell you right now, as much as I love things that work for health, if I thought vaccinations were perfectly safe and worked well for health, I'd be all on board. I'm open to anything. My children are fully vaccinated. Now, the reason that they are is because I wasn't aware of this. I was one of these that was propagandized to. And it was interesting. I bring this point up a lot. I hate to repeat myself, but it is interesting. I got my kids, when they got their bikes, I got them helmets. Elbow pads. We got the car seats. We didn't get the cheapest kind. We got a good, decent, you know, a car seat with a 4-point harness, and I always made sure, boy, my kids were strapped in. They had the little, when they were real small, they were twins, and so they were a little small when they were born. I made sure they had the padding around the head so their head didn't even juggle around. I mean, I did these things. Didn't take my eyes off of them. Watched them around the house. Watched them in grocery stores. You know, I did all of these things. But then I walked into a doctor's office and didn't even ask, oh, what's in that you're putting into my child's arm? I'm kind of surprised I didn't. But I was brought along to that. I'm gonna finish this story.
Comes on the heels of the latest study finding no evidence the MMR vaccine increases the risk of autism. That's the vaccine that protects against measles, mumps, and rubella. We counted at least 40 studies over the last 20 years finding the same thing. Jeff?
Important story. You've been on since the beginning. Doctor, thank you.
Oh, important story. Now, here's what they have this board, and I think during the break I may look up Dr. John Weissman. He was the head health guy, maybe in Oregon or Washington right there. I might have to do some research. It may take more than just a break. Find out, you know, what his professional stuff is. A lot of these guys make a ton of money going around the country speaking at conferences. Maybe he's a pure as the driven snow and just believes what he's saying. But as I watch the board there on this video and on this story from CBS, I see all of the doctors lined up along with this kid they brought in, the dog and pony show, to say anybody who questions vaccines is absolutely insane. They should be minimized. They should be censored. Everything they say is false and misleading. It is hoodwinking people. So here's my question for you, doctors. If I was sitting on behind the mahogany walls of Congress and I was questioning these people, and let's just pretend for a second that I was one of these congressmen who wasn't bribed by the pharmaceutical industries, I might ask them, okay, well, look, you say that these vaccinations are perfectly safe. Why has the federal government paid out over $3 billion in settlements to people that were injured by vaccines if there is no risk? I would wait for that question. I would also ask them, can you tell me? I mean, let's get some answers here. I would like some answers from the medical establishment. Here's a story that ran today. Luke Perry just died at 52 of a stroke. This story was kind of in reference to that. Days after Luke Perry's death at 52 from a stroke, a new study on heart attack rates is another grim reminder that the young are far from invincible and maybe even more vulnerable than they used to be. Heart attack rates are rising for adults under age 40, researchers found after comparing data of heart attack survivors ages 41 to 50 with those survivors who were 40 and younger. In fact, the proportion of heart attack patients under age 40 has been climbing 2% every year for the past 10 years. According to findings from the slated for presentation at the American College of Cardiology's annual scientific session later this month. Doctors, why are heart attacks for young people going up at 2% a year? Now, they might have some suspicions, but they don't know. I don't know. Is it something we should look at? I'm not tying heart attacks to vaccines. Bear with me for just a second. Doctor, why have we seen an explosion in diabetes? It seems like the medical establishment doesn't have the answer to that, or it wouldn't have happened. You would have prevented it, right? I mean, you certainly don't have the answers, yet allowed Americans at record numbers to contract diabetes just so you could treat them for the rest of their lives, would you? Of course not. No. You don't know why diabetes is going through the roof. Doctors, why are cancer rates going up? Why was childhood cancer really a weird thing in the early 1900s? Doctors would come from the countryside. Oh my gosh, we've got a child with cancer. Everybody would want to study him because it was so rare. Now we're building huge new hospital wings for all the kids with cancer. Doctors, why is childhood cancer growing? Doctors, why since the... Since you've convinced us to slather on sunscreens, why has skin cancer been going up? Doctors, why is Alzheimer's more prevalent now? Alzheimer's and dementia, why is it more prevalent now than it used to be? Doctors, why is autism on the rise with our young kids? See, they won't have a definitive answer for any of these things. Now, they are mysteries. I don't know. But is it possible that if they don't have the answers to these things, if they cannot answer these questions, then everything should be on the table for review? Vaccines, GMOs, food additives, chemicals in our household products. Am I a freak for saying I don't spray chemical products around my house? I use things like vinegar and water. And they clean great. Does that make me a weirdo, or does it just make me somebody who says, you know what, I don't want those chemicals in my home? Is that false and misleading information? I'm steering you. These cleaning products and air fresheners wouldn't be on the market if they weren't safe. Well, I just opt to not do them. But why is everything not on the table for discussion, including vaccines? Now, I posted prior to interviewing Randy Vaughn yesterday, I put a story up on my Facebook page. And I encourage you to go to that Facebook page, The Mike Madison Show on Facebook, and take a look at the story. I don't care if you read the story. It talks about the efficacy of the measles vaccine. But go take a look at the story and go down to the chart and look at the rapid decrease in the death from measles before there was a measles vaccine. Measles vaccine, I believe, if I can recall from this chart, was introduced in 1963. The line was almost down to zero already. And then they introduced this vaccine. And you will find this replicated again around several diseases. Look up the rates of polio and those kinds of things. So many of these health conditions that we got a response to with vaccines were already on the decline because of things like sanitation. Because people were able to stay cleaner, address some of these things. Now, again, I'm not pointing to Alzheimer's and vaccines. I'm not pointing to saying heart attacks are a result of vaccines. I don't know. But the fact that the American people can watch this ballooning deficit in spending on healthcare, the absolute collapse of our healthcare system, and the horrible, tragic results of Americans' health right now. Why is obesity in the United States so much bigger than everybody else? Are we just defective genetically? Are Americans just an inferior people? Is that what it is? Because we've been listening to your advice now for quite a bit of time. And in the last 50 years, you seem to have missed something. So maybe the medical establishment that lectures to us about the vaccines could drop a tiny bit of the arrogance and understand that we want everything looked at because we're not stupid. Something's going wrong. autism rates within our kids are going up. Why? Again, are Americans just genetically inferior? Is it a genetic thing? Is autism just a genetic thing? And what it is that all of the autistic kids from the 60s and 70s that were born were the sexiest ones among us, so they're the ones that procreated, spreading out that autism gene throughout society. Is that what it is, doctors? Now, if you ask them these things, what they're going to tell you is they're going to say, I don't know. They don't know. We suspect it might be this. We suspect it might be that. Well, what about a bunch of parents who have had vaccine-damaged kids and they suspect something is wrong with the vaccines? Are they to be dismissed? If you don't have the answers, medical establishment, to all of these chronic diseases and the rising rates of all of them, can we not ask some questions ourselves without being ridiculed? It is stunning the arrogance within our medical establishment that has produced such an absolutely horrible result. And let me tell you, I don't blame doctors themselves as people. I've said it over and over again. I know some doctors that I love, some of my best friends. I know their hearts. The problem is the system they're involved in, they should be, and there are doctors out there speaking out against this system saying, hey, something's going wrong. I had a woman on the show. She was an oncology surgeon. She was doing mastectomies for women with breast cancer. She was looking at her patients. When she started, they were 60s and 70s. Then they started becoming in their 50s, then her 40s. Then in their 30s, she was seeing girls come in with breast cancer. And she said, hold the phone a second. What is going on? And then she, after being in practice for 20-something years, she goes, oh, look at this. The nutrition side matters. And now she's out preaching this, and more doctors are coming to this, but they're doing it slowly, and they're doing it condescendingly. Go to a doctor's office and tell them that you've decided against a high blood pressure prescription, you're going to try fish oil. I did a show a couple of weeks ago, again, go get the podcast if you want to take control of your health, about high blood pressure. It's one of the highest prescribed medications out there. Try going into your doctor's office and saying, well, I don't think I'm going to take that. I'm going to try fish oil first. You will hear doctors say things to you like, oh, let me guess. You've been on the internet again, haven't you? Very condescending, very dismissive. Again, I say, are vaccines not on the table for discussion? Because if you've already got the answer, if vaccines can be absolved of all the problems of the rising chronic disease rates in this country, I'm all ears. Tell me what the problem is. Is it microwaves? Is it GMOs? Is it cell phones? Is it high fructose corn syrup? Is it? You don't know, do you? Okay, then. Let's talk about all of it. I got a caller online. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yeah, Mike.
Hey, Sean.
Got a couple more questions to add to your long list of questions.
Yeah.
Why does the federal government allow this unabated immigration with no checks on their health, introducing diseases to this country that we haven't seen in 50 years?
Yeah, well, that's my next topic. Not necessarily. Is it mumps that they've discovered that's coming through the border?
Exactly. We haven't seen this stuff in 50 years, and now all of a sudden we're seeing it again. Another thing is, why are those who are vaccinated feel so threatened by those who are not vaccinated? It should be the other way around, because if you feel like you're vaccinated and you're safe, why are you worried about those who are not?
Absolutely. Yeah. Basically, those people who are worried about an unvaccinated child around their vaccinated child, they are science deniers because they were told, get this shot. You know, what's interesting about the measles thing, too, and we didn't have a whole lot of time to get into it yesterday. Measles used to be exclusively for kids. And what's happened now is what used to happen is that kids would get the measles. And they would survive it. It's uncomfortable. It's, you know, it's not a great experience. But kids would get the measles, and then they would have a lifetime immunity for it. They would have built this antibody by going through the disease, have a lifetime immunity. Now they get vaccinated. Well, the vaccine wears off. So they're getting it later and later, and adults are getting it. Adults are getting these vaccines, and there's a thing called shedding, where they actually become contagious carriers of the disease they just got vaccinated for. I don't understand the science of that. I didn't know that existed until a couple years ago, but it's in scientific literature that this is one of the results of vaccination. I think it's worth talking about, but to listen to CBS News there and every other news outlet, Fox News, MSNBC, ABC, health authorities, everybody, I'm some kind of a freak for saying, I got to tell you, I'm looking for some answers, not just dismissal.
It, you know, another thing is, why does the had the government removed some of the liability for lawsuits and have actually assumed that liability themselves? So
not some of the liability.
Companies can't be sued for this. But, you know, like you said earlier, you know, the mercury, and now I'm reading that they're actually putting aborted baby fetus stuff into the vaccines. I mean, why would someone think that putting mercury in your body is actually a good idea? I mean, didn't Mad Hatters go mad for working with mercury in hats?
Right. Well, you know, you're slightly off on something. They didn't remove some of the legal liability from the pharmaceutical companies when it comes to vaccines. They eliminated all of it. Blanket immunity for these things. And the federal government and the taxpayers are the one that have paid out this $3 billion in settlements. I got to tell you, Sean, I got to run to a break. I'm running a little bit long. But I mean, yeah, I could probably spend the rest of the show for other questions for the medical establishment. If we're not allowed, and vaccines are one of the most ubiquitous health intervention that doctors do. Not everybody gets a colonoscopy. Not everybody gets a root canal. Not everybody gets a whatever else. But damn, a lot of people get vaccines. So if the health results across our population are so bad, is it not possible? Is it not worth talking about? Is it not intelligent to say, well, we do this a lot and we're getting a lot more of this, maybe we should study any relationship? But boy, that sure would upset a lot of prophets, wouldn't it?
Well, the autism is one of the biggest things to me.
Oh, they say that's been debunked, Sean. They did 40 studies and said there's absolutely no evidence of that. Contrary to these parents that you can see in documentaries, these are parents who really had beautiful children. Toddlers running around and talking and playing and standing up and communicating and interacting with people at 18 months, and then they get a round of shots, and 3 days later they never talk again. But no, don't look at that. It must have been something else. All right, Sean, thanks for the call.
Thank
I appreciate
you.
It. Yeah. All right, I'm real long. Got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
All night with the king.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
All right, I'm going to continue on this topic for just a minute. If you want to call into the show, 601-879-0002, if you think I'm completely off base, if you think that vaccinations as a topic are off the table, they are verboten, don't ask any questions, the science is settled, there are no problems, then just tell me, what is the problem with America's rapidly declining health? Because unless you can answer that question, and I know it's a series of things, there's not one thing, I'm not simplistic in my thinking, but they don't know what any of the things are, do they? Would obesity be skyrocketing if they could solve obesity and tell us what to not do? They told us for 50 years that we should be on a low-fat diet, and we exploded girth-wise in this society. Turns out the scientists at Harvard who did the initial study that was kind of the benchmark for that were bribed by $50,000 back in the 1960s by the sugar lobby to not implicate sugar. So pardon me if I'm not just as trusting. I'd like to know, why is it that I got flu shots for much of my early years between my teens and my early 30s? And I would get the flu. I haven't had a flu shot in 14 years, and I don't have the flu. And let me tell you something. Go to the doctor. I would love for people to have. I wish I had a video of when I went to my pediatrician, and he was commenting on how healthy my children were, that they only came in for their checkups once a year. They were never sick. And the kids pointed at me as the reason for that, and they were kind of laughing because they get tired of listening to their dad talk about organic food and don't eat this and don't eat that. I'm not a Nazi about it, but I just tell them, hey, look, I want you to be healthy. I want your brain to develop. And they're fantastic kids. I don't know if that's a result of that or not. But they pointed to me, and the doctor looked at me, and he said, what are the kids talking about? And I said, well, doctor, at the time, it was about 5 years into me switching my kids to organic food, getting a lot of the chemicals out of our home, getting chemicals out of their food. And I told him, I said, well, about 5 years ago, I switched us over to an organic diet, and we, you know, mostly organic diet, and we'd do some supplements. That's about how far I got into the conversation when his eyes glazed over. He had no interest. No interest at all in what I had to say. And I tell you what, a light bulb went off in my head. Got a caller on the line. Hey, caller, are you with me?
Yeah.
Hey, you're on the air?
All right, this is Jeremy. I try to listen every day. I'm going to tell you about my brother and my sister-in-law. They have four children, and they homeschool, and they use all natural everything, no GMOs. You know, they've really gotten into it hardcore, which you kind of have to do it all or none, you know. But they have some of the healthiest children you'll ever find, and they're not vaccinated. That's the main thing that my sister-in-law really got into and was like, no way, we're not doing that. Her last child that she gave birth to 3 years ago was 10 pounds and had a perfect Apgar score. And I think I attribute all of that to their holistic, health-wise nutrition, not drugs.
Right.
And that's just a living testimony. I mean, if that doesn't convince somebody, I don't know what will. Of course, people are brainwashed.
Yeah, and if you don't have a white lab coat on when you say something, you have no credibility. Yet the people in the white lab coats aren't asking the most basic, aren't answering the most basic questions we have out here. Why are we so sick? Tell us why we're so sick, and then we'll leave everything else alone because we'll have the answer. The problem is they don't have the answer, and so we're not allowed. They tell us what it's not. Oh, it's definitely not the vaccines. Oh, it's definitely not the GMOs. It's definitely not the pharmaceuticals. I mean, we've got 250 million prescriptions a year in this country right now. Last I saw, and this is years old, on antidepressants. What's the problem here? Somebody tell us something.
Right. And on the flip side, I sadly have a friend that I went to high school with. I'll just use this one example, that she has all of her children are autistic. What in the world? You know, I mean, and it's, and of course, that family would just do whatever the doctors tell them, like everybody else does. But it's just, to me, the juxtaposition between all the, I know lots of people, you know, that have, they have children that are suffering from things that could very well be some type of environmental contaminant or a vaccine.
Yeah,
I'm like you. I don't do the flu shot thing, and I'm watching all my friends, get the flu shot, and they get the flu. You know, I don't think it works. I'm not putting it in my body, and I'm real proud of my brother and my sister-in-law for taking the stand that they have, including being picked on for homeschooling, and their kids are smarter than anybody else their age, peers.
But how sick is it, too, that, you know, I'm talking to a largely freedom-oriented audience. You know, conservatives are supposed to be about small, limited government and personal freedom, and that's the beauty of the United States. We have allowed this scientific community to force us into a choice. You either have to jam this stuff in your kids, several of them at a time, or you don't get access to the schools that you pay property taxes for. We won't allow you in the schools. And again, I say, well, if your kid's vaccinated in the school and an unvaccinated kid comes in, what's the danger to you? They told you the vaccine would protect you. So
yeah, well, what are you afraid of?
Yeah, exactly, exactly. Hey, man, I really appreciate the call. Call anytime. I got to take a quick break. I'll be right back.
All right.
Thanks, man.
All night with the king.
food allergies know how difficult it can be to find quality, affordable restaurants that cater to your needs. That's why the folks over at Your Pie have made a commitment to ensure everyone can enjoy great-tasting pizza. Your Pie offers gluten-free dough, vegan, non-dairy cheese, and non-dairy sorbet. Just ask for it next time you're in line. Matter of fact, just mention any allergy you have, and the folks at Your Pie will go over the top to make sure you can safely enjoy their delicious food. That's Your Pie in Gluckstadt, where food allergies never stop you from being able to express your inner pizza.
Right into this world, all alone. God takes your soul. You're on your own.
You know, in my opinion, what this country needs is more people willing to stand up and question authority. It's across a whole host of topics. I cover them on this show every day. They've got you convinced it's time to go to war with Venezuela. They've got you convinced that the debt doesn't matter. Deficits don't matter. They've got you convinced of a lot of things, and they count on one thing, that the American people do never strap on the yellow vest and take to the streets and say, no, we're not taking your explanations anymore. Your results are terrible. It takes some countries going into socialism before they stand up and speak their mind. In this country, we've become so cowed by use of terms like conspiracy theorist. I do a whole segment here every week called False Flag Friday. On Fridays, where I show you historical examples and real-time examples of when the governments lie to their own people to get them involved in wars that the American people or any country's people would never get involved in until they're tricked. We need more courage in this country to ask the questions and not just accept mediocre and really horrible results. They're trying to get us to not ask the questions. Authorities don't like you asking the questions. Certainly when there's not a lot of, when there's a whole bunch of money involved. They do not want a bunch of people asking questions. They're censoring people online for all kinds of different topics. I'm going to cover one that may trigger some conservatives next hour. Stay with me.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a complete flag source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a complete flag source has all of the right brackets. Visit a complete flag source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I need your arms around me. I need to feel your touch. I need your understanding. I need your love so much.
All right, we are back. This is the Mike Madison Show, and I am your host, Mike Madison, here. If you'd like to join the show, number here, 601-879-0002. Appreciate you joining me today. Got you know, I can do the wall stuff. You want to talk about the wall? There's obviously there's a flood coming across the southern border right now. I don't know many people really want to hear my take on that, to be honest with you, because I just don't think this wall's ever going to be built. And I think this was a huge national conversation. Has definitely pitted people against each other, but the practicality of it is not going to happen. A North Dakota company is offering to build 234 miles of President Trump's border wall for a fraction of the $8 billion that Trump wants for the same stretch. I think they said they could do it for $1.4 billion. Now, but I ran into this in the story, too. Again, my first question is, why didn't they tackle this during the first 2 years when Republicans were in charge? Well, Mike, because Paul Ryan, he stopped the whole thing. Well, I got to tell you, Paul Ryan had to have been easier to negotiate with than Nancy Pelosi. Had to have been some way that it was advantageous to do it in a Republican-controlled Congress, but they didn't, and nobody seems to know. I mean, I guess we just blame Paul Ryan, and he goes on. Look, I'm no Paul Ryan fan, but seems like you made perfect the enemy of the good. I mean, at least it was good then. At least there was some control, and they whiffed, as they always do. But I ran across this in the story. According to a representative of the Army Corps of Engineers, the Trump administration has yet to decide on how the $8 billion Trump wants to spend will be allocated. The Corps is considering, how long have we been talking about this? They're considering how to spend money Congress gave DHS last fiscal year and has not requested bids from the private sector because it's still in the procurement process. Yeah, they'll get around to it any day now. This is why I tell you this thing's not getting built. And I'm agnostic about it. I believe that a wall would be effective in many places, and I think it would reduce. It would be a signal. I mean, okay, I'm with you. Get the wall. It's a drop in the bucket of our federal budget. I just don't think it's ever going to be built. The Corps is considering how to spend money. They're still in the procurement process. This thing hasn't moved. Replacement and new wall projects have struggled to get underway in Trump's first 2 years. And let me tell you, this is from the Washington Examiner. This is a conservative news outlet. Replacement and new wall projects have struggled to get underway in Trump's first 2 years in office. Just 35 miles of wall have gone up in that time. The Army Corps of Engineers has procured around 75 miles but has not awarded $900 million for the project of the $1.3 billion that was in the 2018 omnibus. They haven't awarded that $900 million contract. This is Obama's shovel-ready jobs. You remember when he talked about that? They're shovel-ready, ready to roll. And those jobs never appeared. They never got around to it. It got bogged down in national government, federal government bureaucracy. But if you do want this wall, and you think that we should be fighting for this wall, do you find it at all odd that we're instead spending a lot of time and money and resources talking about Venezuela instead? Our borders being overrun, you got John Bolton running around making the case for American involvement and intervention in Venezuela. John Bolton is the national security advisor. Out of Trump's own mouth, the border is a national security issue. Why is his national security advisor more concerned with Venezuela and Iran, a half a world away? He's more concerned with Iran. This is his national security advisor. So national security is not really his job. He's a war criminal, a war whore. He's just about the wars. He's not actually about keeping Americans safe and actually securing our borders. It just is a little interesting to me. I'm on the periphery of this issue. I could generate a ton of calls as we castigate the Democrats for wanting open borders and we blame Paul Ryan. It's just, to me, this really shows you how meaningless the people are in big national things. And we've allowed this to happen, and we continue within Mississippi here to the audience I'm speaking to. We continue to just keep doing the exact same things that got us right where we are. You had a couple of Republicans running for a Senate seat in a primary election, and the vast majority of Mississippians went, well, I think we're on track. Everything's been going swimmingly so far. Let's just keep doing the same thing we've been doing. Chris McDaniel, not a perfect candidate, I don't guess. Very few of them are, if any. But we wouldn't even try something a little different. Same party. We wouldn't even try a different face. We wouldn't even try going outside of the hand-picked candidate for us. So I don't know what Mississippi's whining about. I got to tell you. Aren't you getting exactly what you would expect from electing the same kind of people over and over and over again? Which is the exact same results. Nothing. Now, I'm going to say this, too, because I'm going to only spend a couple minutes on this, and then I'm going to move on out of fear of the audience. I'll make sure the studio doors are locked so there's no pitches and torches that come after me. I believe Donald Trump has failed on this issue because of his style. See, what Trump needed to do to get this wall done, now, we have decided as a people on the right, supporters of Donald Trump, we've decided where it's more fun to watch the street fighter lash out and call people names than actually get things done. I agree. Donald Trump is under a great deal of pressure. There's a lot of sides against him. So what he needed to do was go over, around, underneath, behind, whatever. That deep state machine that so many people are dissatisfied with, and he needed to make his case to the American people, and I hate to tell you, all the American people, not just his base. He needed to go out there and convince those people who did not vote for him that he was just trying to do right by this country, and he needed to do it in a calm manner that allowed them the room to not be castigated by their friends for coming over to be a Trump supporter. So Trump supporters have loved, and I got to say the other day in his speech, I didn't watch all 2 hours of it. I can't watch anybody speak for 2 hours. A good concert, good rock concert, but even 2 hours of good rock concert can get a little long. Have you ever noticed that? And start doing some of the ballads at about an hour and a half, you're like, okay, let's about ready for the encore, and let's move this thing along. I can't watch a 2-hour political speech ever, but he had some funny lines in there. But is there nothing to say that maybe he has zigged when he should have zagged when it came to his style? His campaign style, probably pretty close to right on, because he broke through the noise, put the media in their seats, and he was able to win an election that nobody thought he could win. He was far underfunded versus Hillary Clinton. He had to use a brash style to get the attention to get in. Boy, if Ron Paul in 2008 or 2012 would have had that brashness, that bravado, that viral nature to the things he said. But Ron Paul was too much of an intellect, and Americans don't want to elect an intellectual. They want to elect a showman. And that's okay. Or they want to elect a Mitt Romney who's got a strong jaw, and they call him a great conservative. Well, now we know Romney was sold to us in 2012. He was just a establishment Republican. It's what they usually give us. Trump was able to break through that in the campaign. Kudos to him. That was not an easy thing to do. It may not happen again in our lifetime. But once he got in, he needed to change. He needed to change his tact, not be fake, because I believe in his heart he wants to see the United States succeed. I believe in his heart he wants to help blue-collar people, white, black, Hispanic, everybody. Trump wants his legacy to be a successful America with a thriving economy, and he could have made that case. I said from the day he was inaugurated and I sat in this chair, this guy has an opportunity to be a JFK-type figure. Just like Ronald Reagan had the Reagan Democrats, I believe Trump could have had the Trump Democrats. He got some of them in the election. And he needed that. In order to get this wall done, Donald Trump needs an approval rating in the 70s. The 70s, not the 40s, not the 52s. Everybody gets excited when Trump goes over 50%. That's not enough. You got to get into the 70s to force Democrats to do something, because it becomes politically liable, political liability if they don't do it. They need pressure from the Trump Democrats. But Trump has not captured that. He didn't rise up above this. He didn't go around him. He tried to go straight through him. He tried to butt heads with everybody. Entertaining at times? Sure. Absolutely. Do a lot of these media outlets in the deep state need to be called out? Absolutely. He's done a great job of exposing them. But if you're frustrated that the wall's not built, I'm telling you, the style that pits people against each other, that makes it hard, you've known people like this. You've gotten into arguments with them. And when they don't give you any room to save face, they're just constantly coming out at you. And you've seen this within your friend groups and relatives probably during the last couple of years during the Trump presidency. When they're constantly coming at you, there's nowhere to retreat. There's no way to save face. People need to be able to save face. If Trump had gotten in and just spoken directly, he should have been doing fireside chats. No jokes, no tweets, no names. He's called Jerry Nadler, who has done this ridiculous fishing expedition of subpoenaing or asking for documents. I don't know if they're subpoenas or not, from like 81 different groups and individuals. Well, he called him Fat Boy Nadler. I got to tell you, that probably ticks Nadler off. And so he's going to do these stupid things because he has a score to settle now. Is it entertaining he called him Fat Boy Nadler? I don't know. I guess to some people, like God knows these politicians deserve just about every nasty name we can possibly give them on both sides of the aisle. But is it effective? I'll say no. Trump needs 70% approval to get this wall ever done and to convince the American people that when he's gone, it was a good thing that the wall was up and it needs to stay up. He had to sell it. And I don't believe he sold it. And I think that's why we're in the problem we're in right now. Disagree? 601-879-0002. I'll be right back.
Think back to your childhood. I bet you can recall that one person who was always tattling on you. You took an extra cookie from the jar. They told mom. Didn't brush your teeth before bed. They ratted you out. Well, our own bodies are a lot like those childhood tattletales, consistently giving us reports of our health and well-being. Naturally You, a nutrition response testing center, uses a natural, scientific, and non-invasive system of analyzing your body to discover the underlying causes of ill health. Certified practitioners at Naturally You use your body's neurological reflexes and acupuncture points to determine what nutrients your body needs, then designs a dietary supplement program based on your body and condition. If you have struggled with weight, fatigue, or ongoing health issues, Naturally You invites you to join them this Tuesday night for a free workshop. Visit naturallyyou.fit to reserve your spot. That's naturallyyou.fit.
Before I get into my really controversial topic, I wanted to mention this one thing. About as predictable as snow in the winter, not here in Mississippi, but around the world. Donald Trump leaves North Korea, does not get a deal, because my suspicion is John Bolton and Mike Pompeo told Trump he was going to look weak if he gave a little, while they gave a little. They told him, no, America stands firm. We're in charge here. You need everything or we walk. And he said, oh, okay. I got that from his language of his speech, of his press conferences after he left. There was a lot of we that he used when he was talking about the deal falling apart. There was a lot of I used. Trump said, I want to remove the sanctions. I want to see North Korea succeed. I want to see Kim Jong-un embrace, you know, a more open society, because Trump's instincts are right. Unfortunately, his advisors are wrong. But as predictable as it, I guess I should have seen this one. I should have just said it out loud because we knew it was coming.
New satellite images appearing to show North Korea rebuilding part of a long-range missile testing facility. The work apparently taking place around the same time Kim Jong-un was meeting with President Trump in Vietnam at a summit that ended abruptly with no deal. Paula Hancock's live for us from Seoul with the breaking details. Paula, what are we learning?
Well, Dave, these are commercial satellite images, which, according to 38 North and CSIS, two think tanks, show that there has been rebuilding of part of this facility called Tongchangri, which had actually been dismantled by North Korea since Singapore last year. This is one of the ones that Kim Jong-un had been speaking to the South Korean President Moon Jae-in about. It was in their declaration after Moon went to Pyongyang, and he was even talking about potentially letting inspectors into this site to show how they had dissembled certain elements of it. But now it does appear, and this has been corroborated also by the intelligence services here in South Korea, has been attached to a certain structure, the engine test stand. That structure has been increased. There are construction cranes as well. So certainly the question is, what does this mean exactly? Does this mean that it is a message to the U.S. president? But of course, the first question is, when were these satellite images from? Any time between February 16th to March 2nd, according to 38 North.
Or were these satellite images from years ago? That's my question. CIA Chief Gina Haspel was very concerned about this and shows that North Korea is not playing fair and that they are seeking, again, there's a lot of mainstream propaganda in the news, that this is what he's been thinking all along, that Kim Jong-un was planning on getting, I actually heard someone yesterday say, I can't remember who this was. I don't think it was John Bolton, but it was some other war whore that was saying this has been the plan all along by Kim Jong-un, was to actually increase his nuclear capability. Engaging in talks with Trump to increase his... I didn't quite put those pieces together, but I am just a simple radio show host. What could I possibly know? But Gina Haspel is very concerned about this. I want to remind everybody that Gina Haspel, the head of the CIA, the first woman, you know, I just had such faith that if we put women in positions of power, that they would be a little more calm. I'm not saying you have to be a wuss, but I would kind of hope that there would be a feminine touch to maybe some foreign policy. You put Nikki Haley at the UN, maybe she brings a woman's touch to it, a little bit more civility, a little bit more soft velvet glove touch. But no, Nikki Haley took a friggin' hammer to the UN, and I guess to prove that she was not just a shrinking violet of a woman, she blasted everybody as loudly as she possibly could. Well, Gina Haspel, I want to remind everybody, is our first woman CIA director, is an acolyte of John Brennan, the former CIA director you hate, who was Obama's CIA chief. See, nothing changes in that area of the government. I wouldn't be surprised, call me hysterical, call me cynical, if any satellite footage that even did show any of these things might not have been from 2014. Who knows? Do you trust that the intelligence services that led you astray on Iraq and Syria and Libya and all of these other things might possibly want to cook the books a little bit and try to convince Trump he's barking up the wrong tree by getting peace with North Korea? Yeah, as I say, this was about as predictable as they come. Again, let's imagine for just a second, and then I'm going to move on to my more radical topic. Let's imagine for a second that Kim Jong-un got 20 nuclear weapons. Why would he attack the United States? Anyone? Let's just say he got them. I mean, the worst case scenario, the guy's armed and ready to go. Do you think that he would be more on defense, or you think he would be on offense? Do you think that this nation with a $25 billion a year GDP, I don't know, does Mississippi have a bigger GDP than North Korea? I mean, maybe not us, but I'm sure some states do. You think that they are hell-bent on the destruction of the United States because they're going to invade and take us over and topple us? You think this little tiny hermit kingdom is going to topple the United States? Let's just imagine he's fully armed. If we weren't messing with him, would he be our problem? Now, if you're Japan or somebody else, you might be a little worried. But Japan's got the backing of the United States. Japan's got their own neighborhood over there. Bunch of people would be concerned about it. Seems like an issue they would handle. Seems like Venezuela should be an issue for South America to handle. I'm just saying, this was predictable. Don't believe the hype. Now, when I come back, trigger alert for conservatives. I'm going to take the side of somebody that I'd probably disagree with on 98% of their politics, and it's somebody that the right loves to hate. But they're being targeted, I think, unfairly. And so as somebody who looks at things through an independent lens, not independent like I don't have any thoughts or ideology, but independent saying this doesn't make sense, I'm going to point something out. Again, trigger alert for conservatives. Go to your safe space. You may not be able to handle this next story.
Mike Madison here. All of us should be flying our U.S. flag. And now's the perfect time to contact a Complete Flag Source to have a flagpole installed at your home or business. For a limited time, all U.S. flags up to 5x8 along with flagpole setups are 15% off. That's 15, 20, and 25-foot in-ground kits, sectional, and aluminum. House spinner poles will keep your flag from wrapping in the wind, and a Complete Flag Source has all of the right brackets. Visit a Complete Flag Source, I-55 North Frontage Road, Jackson, or online at CompleteFlags.com.
I can't tell you how much I appreciate people who listen to the show, people who email me. You can always reach me at MikeMadison@WYAB.com. Not all of them are kind. Not all of them agree with me. I don't care. I appreciate you hanging in there with me. I talked about a lot of stuff here that's not discussed other places. The people who consistently listen to the show are going to be the people that pull the cart in this country as things continue to unravel, because they're the people willing to think differently, that are not sheep in a system accepting everything that's fed to them. So I appreciate that. Now, I'm going to do something here. Let me do this first. Let me say, when I say the word lobbyist to you, you have a positive reaction or a negative reaction? I would say the vast majority of people would probably say negative. Do you think that lobbyists have an inordinate amount of say on what goes on the federal level? I would say most people probably would say so. I don't know what the approval rating of lobbyists is, but I can't imagine it's high. When I talk about whether or not you agree with me on my first hour about this vaccine uproar that's going on and the suppression of any alternative views on that, whether you agree with me on that or not, I bet you most people would say the pharmaceutical lobby has too much power in Washington, D.C. We saw a lobby that wrote the prescription drug benefit, Medicare Part D. They actually got language into the bill that said that the federal government cannot negotiate prices with the pharmaceutical companies. And that's why drug costs are high, and that's why Medicare is going bankrupt. So if I were to say, do you think the pharmaceutical lobby has too much power? You'd say, oh, yes, absolutely. What about the big banks? The big banks that got bailed out. The huge financial interest, I mean, the elites, the top of our society, have they got too much influence? I would say the vast majority of people say yes. And again, I say, this is lobbyists across the board. Most people would say, absolutely. Well, there's one lobby you cannot question, Mike. You cannot question this lobby. And it doesn't make sense to me. Again, as an independent thinker, I'm just looking around saying, why isn't, if these organizations have got too much sway in Washington, D.C., why is just one of them a sacred cow? We can't talk about it. And as I said, this is a trigger alert for conservatives. Go to your safe space right now, because I am about to take the side of Muslim Congresswoman Ilhan Omar. Now, I would say I would probably be disgusted with many of her policies. I would not agree with her. I would not vote for her. I'd like to see her probably replaced. My understanding is it's not because she's a Muslim. I'm Scottish. I mean, just the virtue of where you're born or your religion or anything shouldn't necessarily matter. I just think I would probably find most of her policy ideas abhorrent. The fact she's a Democrat already kind of alerts me to the fact I'm going to disagree with her on at least 90% of things. Some Democrats, like Tulsi Gabbard, beautiful on foreign policy. I would agree with Tulsi Gabbard on some of those things, but she's a progressive and I disagree with her on other things. I would imagine with Omar that I probably disagree with her on a lot of things. But I'm just going to tell you the story. Then I'm going to play a clip from the Ben Swan. He's one of the few independent thinking journalists out there. He was so independent thinking that they essentially kicked him off of the Fox network. But Representative Omar has made comments in tweets about the influence of AIPAC, which is the Jewish lobby. Now, I do feel like I should have made prior arrangements to have my Jewish girlfriend, former Jewish girlfriend, I'm still great friends with, on the phone with me right now to give me some level of cover, because I know accusations can hurl if you question the Israeli government. There's a big difference. See, we conflate so many things. We conflate defense spending with war spending. Defense spending to protect the United States from foreign invasion or attack is just a fraction of what we spend, because what they call defense spending is actually offensive war spending. And most people know that we're wasting money on all these endless wars, but they still think the defense budget needs to go up because they can't separate the two out and realize that our problem is on the war side. It's not on the defense side. We've got plenty of money to pay for a strong national defense, which I support. Criticism of the lobbying group for the government of Israel has nothing to do with Jews. I don't even like that saying. I've never been comfortable with the word Jews. It feels derogatory to me, yet all the Jewish people I know talk about being a Jew. I don't know why. It just strikes me that way. Anyway, we need to be able to separate these things out. The lobbying group that is AIPAC has tremendous control in Washington, D.C. Some say the most powerful lobby in Washington, D.C. Now, I go back to my original questions. What is your view of lobbyists in the first place if it's negative? Do you think that some lobbying groups have too much power in Washington, D.C.? Most people would say yes. Most people understand that the American people are, I don't know where we rank on the totem pole of influence in Washington, D.C., but I don't think it's in the top 10. Do you? So it seems to me that all lobbyist organizations should be able to be examined without being accused of being some kind of a bigot. And Representative Omar just simply said, now she may have made some other comments that were abhorrent, but I'm just focusing on this particular issue. Again, issues are issues. I don't deal in the big, broad, overarching castigating everybody on this is a specific issue pulled out. She made mention of the fact that AIPAC was the reason that we had done certain things in this country, and they said, why do you think that? And she said, it's all about the Benjamins. And this was construed as anti-Semitic, and she was pounced upon by the establishment of both parties, including the Democrats. They're having problems with her now. I'll let Ben Swan take it from here, just so that you know I'm not alone in this. But I got to tell you, I think it's time to question all the lobbying organizations, all of the money in Washington, D.C., and AIPAC is one of the most powerful. I don't think it should be a sacred cow.
Quote, I want to talk about the political influence in this country that says it's okay for people to push for allegiance to a foreign country. I want to ask, why is it okay for me to talk about the influence of the NRA or fossil fuel industries or Big Pharma and not talk about a powerful lobbying group that is influencing policy? End quote. That was the statement made just a few days ago by Minnesota Congresswoman Ihan Omar. Only 60 days ago, Omar became the first Somali woman ever elected to Congress, and since then, she's been attacked, frankly, on various fronts, including for being a Muslim. But it has been her comments about the unquestioning, unwavering support of the nation of Israel and its policies that have brought the most heat. Because of that statement that I just read to you about questioning lawmakers' allegiance to a foreign country, House Democrats are now pushing a resolution against anti-Semitism. According to Politico, the draft measure is 4 pages that largely details the history and recent rise of anti-Semitism in the U.S., but does not specifically name Omar, which had been an internal dispute among Democrats. Instead, it condemns the, quote, myth of dual loyalty, using the same language as top Democrats like House Appropriations Chairwoman Nita Lowry, who have condemned Omar in recent days. And it is the claim of dual loyalty that's drawing so many of these attacks. For instance, the CEO of the Anti-Defamation League, Jonathan Greenblatt, wrote this, quote, accusing Jews of having allegiance to a foreign government has long been a vile anti-Semitic slur that has been used to harass, marginalize, and persecute the Jewish people for centuries. Sometimes referred to as the dual loyalty charge, it alleges that Jews should be suspected of being disloyal neighbors or citizens because their true allegiance is to their co-religionists around the world and to a secret and immoral Jewish agenda, end quote. Well, that historical perspective is certainly true, but reality check here. Representative Omar did not accuse Jews of having an allegiance to Israel. She questioned the motivation of lawmakers who are not Jewish from both sides of the political aisle, who have unquestioned support not of Jews, but of the nation and government of Israel. And there is a very big difference between those two things. Again, to be crystal clear, Congresswoman Omar says that she is questioning the U.S. relationship with Israel and the influence game in Washington, specifically in the form of lobbying from AIPAC. Case in point, just this last week, UN Human Rights Council released a report stating that Israel intentionally shot children and journalists in Gaza. Every Friday since March of 2018, Palestinian protesters, they have rallied near the Gaza border to protest the Israeli blockade. And every Friday, Israel shoots a large number of people. The investigation ruled that there are reasonable grounds to believe that Israel violated international law. The report found that Israeli forces, get this, have killed 183 Palestinians, almost all of them with live ammunition. The dead include 35 children. 23,000 people were injured, including over 6,000 shot by live ammunition. Again, the commission found 35 children have been killed, some from direct weapons fire. The commission also noted one case involving a disabled person in a wheelchair and direct fire at journalists who claimed that they were clearly identified as press. One commission member, Sarah Hussein, responded that there was no justification for firing at children and the disabled, whom she claimed posed no danger. The commission also took note of injury to Israeli soldiers in those confrontations. So why does it matter to get this story right? Well, that's because while the UN did release that report on Thursday, it has not been covered by one single mainstream media outlet in the United States. It has not been commented on by even one lawmaker. And the evidence of what Congresswoman Omar is talking about is right there. Instead of putting together a resolution against the killing of 35 children during protests along the border and thousands others who were injured, rather than even debating it, House Democrats are drafting a resolution in order to attempt to silence a legitimate criticism, not of people, not of a religion, but of a foreign government. Now, any thinking person can separate those two things. But when we do not, well, that is exactly the core of this problem.
And I know I'm on the minority side of this opinion, because I saw on the news this morning that Mississippi and Phil Bryan is expected to sign a bill that would allow the state to discriminate against any companies that boycott Israel. Now, I'm no First Amendment scholar, but I do not recall a time where any governments were passing laws to be able to discriminate against any group for boycotting anybody. I know a lot of people have boycotted the NFL. I know people have probably boycotted many other countries around the world. We boycotted South Africa for a period of time. We're not happy with this country or that company, the right to boycott is, to me, a First Amendment right and one of the most important things the United States has, in that we are free to support or withhold support from any organization or any group that we want to as a part of our free speech. Yet this is strange. This is the one thing that has rallied governments, both state and federal, to threaten companies and say, you cannot get, we can withhold state contracts to you, even though you might be lowest bidder, and through whatever mechanisms they have to choose companies to provide services to these states. We're not the first state to do this. But states will discriminate based on the fact that you support a boycott of another foreign country. And as Ben Swan just said right there, and I can't be more clear about this, this has nothing to do with a religion of any kind. And again, I need to have my Jewish ex-girlfriend on the phone just giving me a little cred here. It is about a foreign government, blind support for a foreign government. Now, it's okay if anybody listening to me has blind support for Israel. I know there's some religious and prophecy things that make people say that we have to protect Israel, and that's all fine. But the problem is, when it comes to the political level and for governments to take this stance, do you not think the massive amounts of money that come into these politicians from these lobbying groups, whether it's AIPAC or the Saudi Arabian lobby? Again, I'll remind you, the Saudi Arabians are implicated in funding and supporting the 9/11 attacks, yet they have flooded Congress with millions and millions of dollars. Is that the reason that our Congress critters and our politicians don't think we should take any action against Saudi Arabia? Do you think that money doesn't play in politics? So if a bunch of politicians have decided that your First Amendment rights do not count in this one specific thing, if you were to boycott this one particular government, then we are going to ignore your First Amendment rights to do that. Does it matter that they've taken large amounts of money from a lobbying group for that government? It happens to be Israel. I would say the same thing if it was Canada. Can we boycott Canada? They're one of our closest allies and neighbors. You're perfectly fine to boycott Canada if you want to. No problems. How about Germany, an industrial powerhouse? Look at the atrocities that were committed in Germany in the 1940s, 1930s. You're allowed to boycott Germany if you want to, even though they're an ally and they're a friend and they're an industrial leader in Europe. You're allowed, one of our closest partners, Great Britain, you're allowed to boycott Great Britain if you want to. You're allowed to boycott Russia. But of course, that's an easy one, because we all think Russia is evil and horrible. But there's one country you cannot boycott in the face of the government. I'm just telling you, she's not wrong on this. Representative Ilhan Omar, whatever her name is probably wrong on 99% of the things she's doing. But calling out and shining a spotlight on undue influence from a lobbying group that represents a foreign country is not wrong.
If you're considering renovations, remodels, or roofing, call on Tri-County Restoration. Do you have an insurance claim? We work with all insurance companies. Tri-County offers kitchen and bath remodels, wood floor refinishing, patio and sunroom additions, and is a GAF-certified roofing contractor. And Tri-County Restoration can handle new construction for that home you've always dreamed of. Call Tri-County Restoration, 601-856-2530, or visit our website, tcr.ms. That's tcr.ms.
We'll be right back.
final segment of the day. I think I've done it all. I have taken on vaccines. I have taken on Trump's approach and said that we're not ever going to see a wall fully built on the southern border. And I've talked about America's blind support for Israel. I think I have done as much triggering for one day as I can. As I say, you can always reach me, Mike Madison at WYAB.com. If you want to lash out, or you can call in tomorrow, 601-879-0002. I think I should start calling the show The Third Rail. I like Red Pill Radio without a net because I think I'm just saying some truths that are just not allowed to be spoken anywhere else because everybody's trying. See, most people are too busy playing the two-party game, so it kind of closes them in. They might think some of these things that I talk about, but they don't dare say them because it implicates some Republicans. Or on the left side, there's all kinds of crazy things going on with the left, but they don't dare say anything because it might anger the Democrats. See, I sit here in the catbird seat. I don't care. I do not care. I am not awaiting any cocktail party invitations from the GOP here in Mississippi or anywhere else. I would like the call. I would like to build this show to a level where I get the call that said, hey, if you'll just shut up, we'll give you $1 million to shut up. I want to at least have that decision. I got to know. I don't know I would take it. If they made it tax-free, I got to tell you, possibility, you'd hear a different Mike Madison show. But until that day, I do what I do. Let's see, there's a headline on Drudge Report today. I've only got a couple minutes left, but I saw this. There's a headline out. I guess this is something new. I didn't even read the story. It says, switch hitter. John Kelly says he would have served under Hillary if she'd won. Now, to a lot of people, that's going to outrage them because Drudge Report primarily is a right-leaning website. Mostly conservatives go to this website. Most people are going to see that and go, oh, my gosh, that John Kelly. Oh, I knew he was no good. It's a good thing Trump got rid of him. Let me tell you something. In the Trump administration right now, I could probably, if I thought long enough and don't have enough time, I could name off a dozen people that would have been right at home in a Hillary Clinton administration. Off the top of my head, John Bolton. Hillary Clinton wanted a no-fly zone over Syria, which would have meant that if the Russians, in their defense of Assad, who invited them in to help him fight this civil war, if the Russians had let one little MiG fly, Hillary Clinton would have shot it down. And I got to tell you, John Bolton would have loved that job. John Bolton would have been more comfortable in a Hillary Clinton administration than he is in a Donald Trump administration. Ditto to Mike Pompeo. Mike Pompeo would have served the exact same role. He might actually be worse, but he would be happy to be worse in a Hillary Clinton administration. Nikki Haley, ditto. Steven Mnuchin, Treasury Secretary, ditto. Gary Cohn, our first National Security Advisor, ditto. That has been my frustration with the Trump administration, that a lot of the people that came in are the swamp, and they would have been perfectly content being in a Hillary Clinton administration. Head of Health and Human, I'm just kind of spitballing now. I'm thinking off the top of my head. I watched the seconds tick away on the show. Head of Health and Human Services right now, Alex Azar, former Eli Lilly executive, would have been perfectly comfortable in a Hillary Clinton administration because the Democrats are just bought off by the pharmaceutical lobby the same way. Alex Acosta, the guy who made a deal, our current labor secretary that made a deal with serial pedophile and human trafficker of underage girls, Jeffrey Epstein. Jeffrey Epstein was a buddy of the Clintons. Bill Clinton took that plane, the Lolita Express, down to his little underage girl island many times. Alex Acosta might have had a higher rank in the Hillary Clinton administration. He would have been happy to serve under the Clintons because he helped cover up their crimes. It's not just John Kelly. So you can look at that headline and be disappointed with John Kelly that he would have played either side. But when you look through the Trump administration, there's a whole bunch of them be happy, just as happy in a Hillary Clinton administration. That's all I got to say about that. See you tomorrow.
No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now. No matter how hard you try, you can't stop us now.